Want applications that can live on-premises or in the cloud? Bring the flexibility of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in our series on Hyper-V from a VMware admin's perspective. And we have our good friend Andy back with us again. Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Good. How's it going, Keith?
Great, great. Thanks for joining us again today, Andy.
No problem.
Hey, before we get started, do you want to give everybody a quick intro of yourself and your experience in virtualization and what your organization does in that space?
Sure. Again, my name is Andy Sirwich. And I am a virtual systems administrator for the Trivalent Group. Trivalent Group is a services provider based in the southwest Michigan area, a city called Grand Rapids. And we provide services that, you know, basically let our customers manage, access, protect, and store their data. That's kind of our business mantra, and we focus on those four things. And we do that via a number of different methodologies, whether it's full-blown professional services. You know, we come in, we do a little bit of consulting for you, do things at a billable T&M rate, or we'll do that via managed services where you pay a monthly fee and it's kind of an all-you-can-eat type of thing. We'll keep your network running. Or we also have cloud and data center services as well. So we do a lot.
Great, great. And, yep. And as I understand it, you started off in the virtualization space years ago around VMware, and over the last several years, as Hyper-V has been maturing as a technology in the Microsoft stack, you've been doing more and more with Hyper-V for your customers. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, as a virtual systems administrator, I'm dealing with hypervisors all day, every day. And, you know, we've primarily been a VMware-centric organization over the last several years, but as Hyper-V has matured and become a much, much better product, we've started kind of shifting a little bit towards that direction, and, you know, at least starting to look at it in certain scenarios and seeing where it's applicable, and you know, we've put it in place several places as well, so we're starting to get over into the Hyper-V space as well. So
great. Wow, yep. That's great to hear. And throughout our series, up to our episode today, we've talked a lot about the critical aspects that you've seen in as requirements for enterprise and mid-market virtualization solutions and private cloud solutions around high availability, disaster recovery, being able to manage VM resources in a hot manner and whatnot, all allowing us to have great flexibility for provisioning virtual machines and application workloads. So, Andy, for today's episode, what's next? What do you see as the next big area that you see a lot of customers doing in the VMware side that we'd want to make sure everyone's aware of how to leverage on Hyper-V?
Well, from a service provider perspective, and for those large organizations, as you get larger with your virtualization environment, one of the things that I think is really important is, you know, yeah, we're able to manually create virtual machines, but to be able to do it in an automated fashion, you know, maybe I want a master server 2012 image that I want to deploy 50 times. You know, what's the best methodology for doing that? You know, I guess that would be a good place to start.
Sure, definitely. So using the templating and cloning capabilities, yep, that are included both with Hyper-V as well as with our System Center virtual machine manager management console for larger, more complex private cloud environments. Well, yeah, definitely. And I guess the good news there is that regardless of which mix of our virtualization technologies you're using, whether you're just using Hyper-V standalone, or you're in a cluster environment using Failover Cluster Manager, or you're using Virtual Machine Manager on larger scale private clouds or hybrid cloud solutions, we've got the ability to support that kind of templating baked into all those different levels of virtualization solutions. Yeah. Andy, what do you say? Do you think it makes sense to head on over to the lab and show everyone how that may work in Hyper-V and VMM and whatnot?
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, hey, Andy, here we are over in our lab environment, and we're going to start off talking about just a base Hyper-V environment where we're using Hyper-V Manager or Failover Cluster Manager to manage our solution initially, and then a little bit later in this episode, we'll talk about using VMM in a larger private cloud environment to manage templates and look at some of the advanced capabilities that VMM offers in that space. So first, in Hyper-V Manager, while there's no direct feature called templating that's part of Hyper-V Manager, we do have some cool features that we can leverage to give us that template type of an approach. One of the areas we have in Hyper-V Manager, if we right-click on any VM, is the ability to export a VM. And then from that exported copy, we can go over to our Actions menu and import our virtual machine in to create another copy of that virtual machine using the same configuration. Now, keep in mind, like most imaging scenarios, whether it's of Windows systems, whether they're physical or virtual imaging, we do have to prepare our virtual machine as a templatized or a generalized copy of that VM before we can really leverage it for exporting and importing to create multiple VMs. So just like in the past, you've probably used tools like this, but just like in the past, when you're building a base workstation or server image, you'd kind of get it configured in your original VM just the way you want it, and then you'd use the sysprep tool to generalize it and shut it down. You'd still do that same piece first. You'd use the sysprep tool first on any of your running VMs that you wish to make a template. Now keep in mind that if you do that, it's going to generalize that VM and shut it down and affect the configuration of that VM so that it'll be great as a template, but it won't work any longer as a distinct VM for running those applications that you had configured before. So
don't do that to DCs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So the first step would be get our VM the way we want it for our template with the right operating system, configuration elements, application code, setting, all that stuff in place, and then sysprep it by running the sysprep tool, and it'll sysprep it and shut it down. And then once we've done that, we can use our export capability to export that off. Now, one of the cool things that we have here in Server 2012 R2 in terms of exporting is that we've got a little more functionality, a little more flexibility with exporting now in the R2 release, where in prior to the R2 release, we could only export VMs that were in a completely shut down state. But now with R2, we can export even running VMs. So a few minutes ago I had mentioned, you know, make sure that when you're running sysprep, because it's going to generalize the virtual machine you're running on, make sure you really know what you want, that you want that to happen to that VM. It could end up destroying the configuration of that VM when it generalizes it. What we see a lot of people doing is to save a copy of their master VM pre-sysprep, what they'll do is they'll configure the VM first, and then once it's configured the way they want, they'll export out a copy of it live, just it has everything that they need in the master image, that they can always recall back if they needed to rebuild or update that master image. They'd export the live copy, and then they'd go and run sysprep on the original and shut it down and export the template copy out for later importing. Does that make sense? Do you do something similar, Andy, from your standpoint when you're thinking about templates with Hyper-V?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to do that. You know, where I found this to be particularly useful is in the situations where customer had you come in, or, you know, for those internal IT departments, you know, have a department come into you and say, hey, you know, I need 5, 6, 7 servers deployed. And using even this export functionality just in the base Hyper-V Manager, it really allows you to get that templates feel that you get on the VMware side. And the nice thing I like about this, you've got that basic functionality built right into Hyper-V Manager. So this is something I definitely see quite often.
Yeah, definitely. And the other piece that we have in Hyper-V Manager is that it gives us even a little more flexibility in terms of managing our exports, is we can export not only the live running state of a VM, but we also have the ability to export out checkpoints. So if we had done a checkpoint or a snapshot of a VM at a certain point in time. We can export the configuration of that VM as it existed at that point in time that we took the checkpoint. So we could have a single VM that we make a number of different changes to, and in between each set of changes, we run a checkpoint or a snapshot operation to preserve its state. That allows us to then go back in time and export and re-import any of those checkpointed versions of the VM to bring us back to a particular point in time of that VM's configuration. So that's a cool feature as well.
Yeah, you know, where I've really seen this used is situations where, you know, maybe a company wants to test a new application, or what will happen if, you know, we take the system this route. They'll actually apply the checkpoint, you know, make their changes, carve off the template, if you will, and then revert the production system back to where it was before any of the changes were made. And that really gives them two systems. They've got their production system, and then they've got their test system at that point that they're using to test the application for, you know, however long they want to test it prior to their cutover. So that's where I've really seen that functionality helpful as far as the checkpoints go.
That's a great point. So we've looked at the flexibility that exporting gives us with the R2 release of Hyper-V. And of course, exporting would be useless without the ability to import those VMs and leverage them. So in our actions pane of Hyper-V Manager, if we drill into the import virtual machine wizard, we can see that as we step through this wizard, it'll allow us to point out to a folder that we've previously exported one or more virtual machines to. So I'll just browse out to one of the export folder locations in my lab environment and pick up that folder. When I click next, it'll show me a list of all the virtual machine exports that are available for importing from the folder that I've selected. And so this is a Windows 8.1 virtual machine that I've previously sysprepped and exported out.
Now, real quick, Keith, one of the things that really weirds out IT pros that I've talked to regarding this functionality, you know, as opposed to the VMware side where you just select the template, on the Hyper-V side here, you actually select the folder. I've had some IT pros get confused drilling down into the folder wondering, you know, what the heck do I select to complete this wizard? You just select the folder before you continue on. There's no file that you have to select underneath. So.
Right, exactly. Yep, select the folder, and then it'll read in that folder structure. It'll look at the exported XML files and whatnot and figure out what virtual machines are available to import. It's a good point. And so I'll select my one virtual machine, click Next, and then it'll ask us to choose an import type. And we've got three different operations or three different types of imports that we can perform with this wizard. We've got the ability to register the virtual machine in place. We've got the ability to restore the virtual machine. And we've got the ability to copy the virtual machine. Register and restore are normally operations that you would use if you wanted, in my experience, if you wanted to recover an existing virtual machine. Whereas the copy operation, that's the normal selection that we'd want to choose if we were using the export-import process as a template management process, where we'd have one export, like our base exported virtual machine that we've selected, that we wanted to import multiple times. Each time we imported it, we'd want to copy it to a new location and register it with a new virtual machine ID. Is that the way that you've used these options as well, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the way that I've always looked at this, unless you know you're recovering a VM, just select the copy option. You know, in my opinion, that's the safer route, you know, if you're unsure.
Yep, definitely. That's good advice. Yeah, so select, when in doubt, select copy. The worst that'll happen is you'll have a copy of your original VM and you'll have to delete the old one maybe if you're looking to restore. Yep.
And in most cases, if you're going to need the top two options, you probably know you're recovering the VM. But like you said, when in doubt, select copy.
Well, so we've looked at the basic export and import functionality in Hyper-V Manager. Do you think it makes sense to head on over to our Virtual Machine Manager lab and see what additional capabilities Virtual Machine Manager gives us around templating?
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, I'll see you over in that lab in just a second. Well, hey, Andy, here we are over in our lab, our private cloud lab, looking at Virtual Machine Manager. And Virtual Machine Manager is a great tool. We looked at it briefly in one of our prior episodes, but it allows us to manage virtual machines more in a centralized fashion across multiple hosts as one list of virtual machines. So here we have an environment where we've got several hosts divided up into various host groups. But when we drill up to the all hosts level, we'll see all of our virtual machines across all of those various hosts running all in one list that we can manage from. And these could be virtual machines that are running on Hyper-V. They could be virtual machines that are running on VMware hosts. They could be virtual machines that are running on Citrix Zen server hosts as well. So it gives us some really nice capabilities of having a unified interface for managing our virtual machines without really having to care where those virtual machines themselves are running, where they're currently running from. And as we select any of the virtual machines in our list and right-click, you'll see under the Create menu option on our right-click menu, two choices, Clone and Create VM Template. Clone is sort of like what we were talking about a little earlier with the live export option that we had in Hyper-V Manager. When we do a clone operation from within Virtual Machine Manager, it allows us to take a running virtual machine and essentially create a copy of it in our environment. And then from that copy, we could prepare it as a template. We could shut it down and prepare it as a template. So we could take any running virtual machine and basically use it as a template just by cloning it, and then once it's in a shutdown state, we'll see Create VM Template light up, and that'll take the approach then of taking that VM, converting it to a template. It'll actually run the sysprep tool for us as part of that process, and then saving it into our VM library. Once that operation completes, then when we're creating new VMs, so if I wanted to create a new virtual machine, we can then select that converted virtual machine as one of our templates that we wish to use. So we'd browse out, and in our library, we'd see all of our VM templates that we had previously saved off. So doing that clone and create VM template is a really easy way to leverage any existing VMs that you've set up in your environment and be able to create them as a template for provisioning other similar VMs of the same nature. So that's one way of creating templates. But we also have some other ways of creating templates as well. If I drill over into the library, I can develop templates as well on a much more modular basis. If I'm setting up a template kind of from scratch, from the start, you'll see that I've got, in addition to VM templates, I've got all these various profiles for application profiles, capability profiles, guest OS profiles, and virtual hardware profiles that I can leverage to modularize the configuration of my VM templates so that they become more reusable. And what I mean by that is we might have multiple VM templates that are all based around Windows Server 2012 as the core operating system. Well, instead of having to fill out the OS properties on every single VM template, we can instead define a guest OS profile for Windows and fill out the properties of that guest OS profile that we then associate or snap in to each of our VM templates. So if we go over here and we look at our VM templates, go into the properties of a VM template, you'll see that can snap right in under this OS configuration. That way we don't have to define that multiple times. Similarly, for application configurations or SQL parameters or whatnot, we have the ability to isolate those into various capability profiles as well. That way, when we're creating new templates, it becomes more of a Lego block approach of building our templates, where we have our base set of profiles, and we bring them into a template, and then do any additional customization that we may need that might be unique to that particular template. Andy, is that the way that you've used VM templates and profiles with VMM, or have you used it a little differently in some cases?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the approach that we've taken as well. And I like that you mentioned the Lego block methodology. Kind of gives you that cookie-cutter approach to providing VMs, you know. Hey, I need a web server. Bang, here's the template. Deploy it. You know, over time, as you deploy more and more VMs and take the time to make templates out of them, it really creates this methodology of of really quick VM deployment based on whatever your needs are. That's one of the things that I really like about SCVMM is that after you use it for a while and really start allowing your VM library to mature, you get this kind of repository of different options, and it becomes quite a powerful tool, you know, at that point.
Yep, definitely. You know,
and more powerful than it already is to begin with.
Well, that's great feedback. And in addition, VM templates themselves can also be used as sort of a Lego block approach. Because if you think about it, in a lot of business environments, applications today really in many cases transcend multiple VMs. If you think about line of business applications that may have a web server VM or a set of web server VMs, a database server VM, maybe an application server VM, all as part of one overall application, you start thinking about, well, geez, you know, managing applications in a modern private cloud or data center environment is really less and less about managing VMs and more about managing collections of VMs that work together to support an application. And in VMM, we have up-leveled that concept of a template for those more complex applications into a feature called service templates. You'll notice in my library, right above VM templates, I've got service templates. And when I create a service template, it allows me to use a sort of a designer workspace to lay out my application based on how many tiers that application has. Maybe it has a web tier and a data tier. Maybe it has a web tier, a data tier, and an application logic tier, and connect them together with properties that make sense for helping to scale and version control those applications. So when I create a service template, you'll see that I'm prompted on my template designer canvas initially for a new service template pattern. And these patterns allow me to lay out different common combinations of single and multi-tier applications. So I've got a single machine, kind of the simplest, two-tier applications, three-tier applications. And when I pick one of these patterns and click OK, it'll load that base pattern into my designer workspace. So here we have, I picked the three-tier template, so we've got our service template, and then we've got each of our tiers. I'd mentioned that with service templates, we can use virtual machine templates that are already built from those modular building blocks at the profile level. We can use virtual machine templates themselves as building blocks inside of our service template. So maybe the first tier that we have, maybe that's a database server tier, for instance. We can just drag that over, and now it becomes a database server and inherits all of the settings that we had for the operating system, for CPU, for applications, and we can further customize that by adding additional applications in. Maybe our second tier over here, maybe that's an application tier. So we can drag that in on top of our second tier, and that inherits all the properties of our app server VM template. And then we can do the same thing for our web tier, our web template. We'll drag that over. As we go a little further, we can then define how these various virtual machines running on each tier are connected to our virtual networks. So we can add in a particular virtual network that we've defined in VMM. So I'll add that in here. And then to connect our various tiers to a single or multiple virtual machine networks, we just use our connector tool and drag and drop. And as we do that, it actually changes the properties that are associated with our virtual network adapters. So it becomes a very visual tool for being able to lay this out. So we can customize each of our tiers. We can customize our templates. We can do things like set scale out properties for each of our tiers. So we can say how many virtual machines with the configuration we've specified should run by default. What's the maximum? What's the minimum? How should we handle upgrading this application tier? How many upgrade domains? How many VMs at a time, essentially, should we upgrade? And the other cool thing is when we save this, now when we're deploying this application, think about what we've got here. We've got, at a minimum, three virtual machines. Instead of having to deploy virtual machine one, and then virtual machine two, and then Virtual Machine 3, and waiting for all of that to happen manually, we can now deploy our service template. Behind the scenes, it'll submit a job that does all of the deployments for all the virtual machines, all of the tiers, all of the networking that we need to get that initial deployment of our application. Pretty powerful capability. What do you think, Andy? Is it something that you see as being useful in client environments for more complex applications?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, as far as mass deployment of servers, this is really powerful stuff. Because, I mean, when it comes to the end user, all they care about is their app, whether they're accessing the app via the cloud or, you know, on-premise network. It all comes down to their application. And the customer or your internal IT users, they don't really care how that back end works. They just know that when they click on their application and it loads. Now, as a hypervisor, administrator, you know, managing all this stuff, being able to lump together all these templates into a service template and deploy it en masse, you're really enabling the, you know, mass deployment and in a really quick fashion of entire applications. I remember the old days where, okay, I got to build my database server. Okay, I'm installing SQL now. Okay, I got to go over here and build my web server. And, you know, it turned into this day-long or several day-long project, whereas now, once you've got all the building blocks in place, you can have that same environment up in a matter of minutes in some cases. So this really turns into really, really powerful stuff and gives you as the IT pro a lot more time to do more important things, you know?
Yep, definitely. And the other area that I've seen this being really useful is when we think about a lot of these line of business applications that companies are using, they have a need for duplicating the environment that these line of business applications work in so that they have an environment for running the production application and then have an environment that they use for development purposes and an environment they use for user acceptance testing that mirror the production environment. Nope. So by baking all of this from a pretty complex environment here, by baking all of this into a single service template, it allows you to click, 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 and be able to deploy consistently each of those environments side by side with the same exact configuration to make sure that they're mirror copies of one another.
Yeah, the other place where I've seen this in use along those lines is in development shops. You know, companies that are developing applications and they want a fresh environment to test this build, another fresh environment to test this build. Yep. It's really useful in that regard.
Yep, and then when they do have something to deploy as an update into production based on the development work they've been doing. The other piece that's really cool about service templates is that service templates are versioned. You'll notice my initial empty service template that I'm creating here starts off with a release value of new. And I can set that to a particular version number, like 1.0. Then as my developers come out with new releases of my application that have perhaps application code changes or operating system reconfiguration or virtual machine resources that need to move up on one tier or another, I can edit the service template, create a copy of it with a new version release, and then when I deploy it, VMM's smart enough to look at the old release and the new release, figure out what's different, and deploy the changes to be able to take me to that next release of the application very quickly. But better than that, if I find that the new release of the application has some problems with it and I need to revert back, I don't know about you, but the developers I've worked with have never been really good at developing fallback plans for code because their code will always work, right?
Of course, always.
But all we have to do is go back to our original release of that service template, redeploy it, and it'll undo and reset us back to the original environment. So it's pretty cool from that standpoint as well. It allows us to get out of hot water sometimes when the next release of an application that's being developed internally doesn't have some core functionality that's needed or has some problems that it's introducing.
Yep.
Cool. Well, what do you say? Does it make sense to go back over to the office and finish out our episode, Andy?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, great. See you back at the office. So Andy, in our episode today, we've looked at various ways that we can use templating to to help IT pros better automate or streamline the provisioning of new applications from new virtual machines or applications from common consistent images that they've prepared in their environment. We've looked at being able to use the export and import capabilities in Hyper-V Manager, as well as the VM templates and profiles and the service template capabilities in VMM, System Center 2012 R2 VMM, for more complex private cloud environments as well. Thanks so much, Andy, for joining us today on our episode and giving a lot of your insight and where you've seen these features used in your customer environments. Really appreciate it. Yeah, and certainly thank you, everyone, for joining us today as well on this episode of TechNet Radio. Some of the great news is that if you're interested in learning more yourself about service templates in System Center 2012 R2 Virtual Machine Manager, down at the bottom of the page, you'll find a link to a online lab that you can walk through in our TechNet Virtual Lab environment for working through the process of provisioning your own service templates in VMM and seeing some of the power they really afford us in managing applications, not at a virtual machine level, but as an application service in our environment.
And you know, real quick, in regards to those online labs, if you haven't done one of the online labs, I strongly encourage you to do it. You owe it to yourself to at least try them out. There's some really good online training.
Great, stuff. Yeah, and it's easy to spin up in, you know, 60 minutes. If you have 60 minutes or 90 minutes available to you, you can spin it up quickly in just a couple minutes, work through the lab, and then when you're done, shut it down and come back to it later. So it's doesn't really require anything more than an internet connection and a browser for the most part. So definitely feel free to take advantage of that. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today as well, and I hope to see you at our next episode of TechNet Radio, when we talk about more features of Hyper-V from a VMware admin's perspective. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
See you, everyone.